Well, Happy New Year to you. 2015, who'd have thought, huh? Well, we're working our way through the book of Revelation. However, we're not going to do that today. So I don't even remember where we are. I think we're Revelation 13, maybe 14 is where we are. So next week, read ahead. Here, let me find where we are so I can tell you where to read. Anybody remember off the top of your head? What is it? 13? Yeah, we'll be 13 next week. So read ahead. We'll probably get 10 verses or so. We've been a church for 11 years, and I oftentimes forget that a lot of people don't know why we exist as a church, or what our function is as a church, or what our purpose is as a church. And then I get people oftentimes asking me about our background and things like that. And since I've been around since the beginning, I kind of am surprised. In fact, one of the elders said somebody came up and asked him a little bit about the history, and he had no idea. And he didn't know a number of things. And so since we didn't have Revelation last week, I figured, well, since we're still out of Revelation, today we'll just, if you will, and I know this may like bore the snot out of you, but let's back up a little bit in time. Let me give you a little bit of history about who we are and why we are and what we believe that God is calling us to be in the future. I grew up in a traditional denominational church. It had a lot of ritual, a lot of tradition. I never once remember hearing the gospel message growing up, and we went every week. That's what you did, you know, and so the thing I don't know that I liked about it, even as a boy, but especially as I reflect back, is it seemed to me like the pastor was somebody who was way up there, and I was way over here, because he never really mingled with the people. He come out from the back, and he sat up on the top, and he had his own special chair, and his own special clothes, and all that kind of stuff, and so I didn't feel like I related very well with him, and maybe that wasn't true, but I felt that. Even as a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid, you know, I didn't really understand all that, and so I never really heard the gospel message, but a buddy of mine was saved in college, and he came home and told me, you know, that he had really met Jesus, and you could tell, and so I gave my heart to Jesus middle college, and then graduated, and I went to school in Columbus, Ohio, graduated with an engineering degree, and then moved over here with GE Medical Systems in 1985. I moved here. I didn't know anybody here, had never been here. All I knew is I had a job, and that was good. And so I moved here and went looking for a fresh start. And I was Christian and walking with Christ. And at that point in time, I started looking for a church. And I come across a Calvary Chapel type church. It was a Calvary Chapel. And so I started going. And I had never been to a church like that before. And it was kind of like this. And so the first time I went, I remember vividly going to the church, and as it was kind of awkward. It was in the basement of an old abandoned church. As I walk in, it's like, where's all the stained glass? And then a guy gets up, and just like Chris today, only he had a lady standing beside him, and him and her just got up, and he started playing his guitar, and that really threw me. I was like, where's the organ? And, you know, just things that I'm just familiar with. And the craziest thing of all is I had no idea where the pastor was. I mean, he didn't sit where he was supposed to sit. And so they get done, like Chris did today. They get done, he prays, and the dude goes and sits down, and the guy sitting two seats from me gets up and started the Bible study. Now, that was like, whoa. But I liked that. I liked it a lot because I felt like I could relate to him, and I had a sense that he was just trying to follow God like I was trying to follow God. And so I kept going to that church because I wanted to grow in my faith, and the church taught the Bible line by line, verse by verse. I never had been experienced that before, and I really wanted to grow in my faith. And I wanted to learn what worship was because as that guy was playing his guitar, that was foreign to me. I mean, I was used to, okay, let's all stand, sing hymn 103, and if that's your thing, go for it. But for me, that wasn't my thing, standing up singing hymn 103 and sitting back down. And then, you know, it just wasn't what I was really interested in at that time. So I knew worship had an element to it that I didn't understand. And so as I kept going to that church, I really started to grow in what worship is, and I was really uncomfortable singing out loud, but I learned that it wasn't really about that so much. It was just my heart attitude during that time, and I just kept going. And I was single, and so I was around a lot, and all I did was I just went early and stayed late because I figured that there's something that can be done. And there, sure enough, there was plenty of things for me to do, and I did it. Whatever it was. And I didn't realize that you actually vacuumed the floor before church. It didn't really dawn on me that needed to be done, you know, until I got early and stayed late, you know. And but through that time of being around, I was exposed to a ministry called Youth Development. It's for youth in crisis. It was a nationwide ministry. It was it operated a hotline, 1-800-HIT-HOME, and kids from all over the country and in Canada could call this number, and then people would be there and be able to counsel them. And so I got really involved with this, did it a lot. In fact, I became the Midwest director of that over time, and just really found a place for me to serve. Just really enjoyed talking to young people, as they would call, all sorts of things from I'm suicidal and I got my gun in my hand, and to my boyfriend just broke up with me and I'm 12, you know, and you know, it's just that kind of thing, you know, all the stuff, and it was just wonderful for me. And as I got more involved, I started doing school assemblies and started having concerts. People come in and doing concerts at the schools, and just did a 3-on-3 basketball tournaments all throughout Indianapolis. And I love athletics, and we did basketball tournaments everywhere. And I would bring guys in, and Antonio Davis, who played with the Pacers through some of that time, I brought him in. We just did a lot of different things. And I was still working full time, but my job was flexible enough that I could do that too. And then in the midst of all that, I met Sandy and then married Sandy. And then, you know, trying to juggle all this kind of thing, being a responsible husband and yet doing all these kind of things. And as this was going on, there was a point in time where I was feeling like, man, I'd like to do this more. And I felt God was, like, even moving me to do it more. But, you know, I'm working an engineering job, and you know, the money that comes along with that is pretty significant and stuff. Well, maybe not, but it seemed that way. Chris is an engineer, too, so he knows. But it was. But the weird thing was, as I'm feeling the stirring, Sandy comes up to me one day and says, you know, Toby, I believe that you're to quit your job, and we'll just live off my salary, and you just do this full time. And that was pretty incredible. And now some of you guys think you got the best girl in the world, that is your wife, and I got news for you. I do. And you know, I mean, she's just perfect for me. And so I volunteered for 2 or 3 years, and we lived off her salary. Now, she worked for the airlines, so she made okay money, but we walked away from my salary completely. And God was really faithful through all that. And we just made sacrifices. You know, cable TV, it wasn't that big a deal. And all the different things, and we just ate different, and, you know, the things that we do sometimes. And so then as I'm involved with all that, I started doing more things with the church that I was connected to, and eventually became the assistant pastor, eventually oversaw all the staff, and then the youth pastor left, and so I saw a need, and I just did whatever needed to be done. So I became the youth pastor and met the Moraleses through that, it's hard to believe it's been that long ago, you know, probably what, 89, 91, somewhere in there. I met Tommy and Chris, and their 3,218 children, and no, five of them. But it was glorious, wasn't it? It was just glorious, just loving that time of life. And through that, then Sandy got pregnant and was getting ready to have Megan. And as Megan was born, Sandy didn't want to go back to work, so the church started paying me. A stipend, how's that? But we got through, you know, it was just God's faithfulness. And again, the sacrifices that you make. And my heat right now at home, I think, is at 58. We just make sacrifices. And I burn our fireplace, but, you know, we just wear extra clothes, and we get by, and it's okay. And we snuggle more, how's that? It's okay. It's all right. My wife's a real trooper, and so are my kids. Hang on, I got to go. I'm going to lose my train of thought. I wrote some of this down. And so through that time, then I'm married to Sandy, and I'm starting to work full time. And so the church was on the north side of town, and Brent and Di were coming. They lived on the south side of town. We lived on the south side of town. We lived down South Beach Grove, on the other side of Beach Grove, Thompson and Arlington kind of range. And and then the Burgettes were lived down there, and the Flicks lived down there, and so we started a home group, and it was at Dave and Terry Spurl's house, but right next to the Flicks, and we did a home group for years. It was the best ministry that I've ever been involved in my life, was that home group, and I think Brent and I would say the same thing, and so would DJ and Kim, and Doug and Susan and others, and we did that for years and years, and it was wonderful. Well, the church up north wanted to start a Southside church, and I didn't feel like I was to be a part of that. I didn't feel like that was necessarily the right thing to do, so they went ahead, and I didn't. So they went and started a church on the south side of town, and I stayed up north and kept driving up and doing all that, and it was good through all that time. I missed them. But so I'm loving life. You know, I just realized I never prayed. Can we pray? Lord, I pray that this time would be edifying. Somehow, it's weird. I don't particularly like talking about me, but this is our past, and this is who I am and why I'm sitting in this little stool today. So, Lord, I just pray that you would help us grab your heart. And Lord, we so much want to be about your business, and we want this church to bring glory to you. And so may this little talk today bring glory to you too, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going along, and I'm loving life, and the youth group is fabulous, man. I mean, I'm really, and a number of you were involved with youth group, and your kids were in my youth group, and we were making a difference in the kingdom with those young people. And I didn't have any desire to do anything else ever. And I remember right where I was, I mean right where I was, when God spoke to me and said, I want you to start a church. And I was stunned. I never one day in my life have desired to be a pastor. Not one day. Ever. I want to serve God. I want to love God. I want on my tombstone that he loved God. I want on my tombstone that he loved Sandy Reisner. I want on my tombstone that he loved his two daughters. That's what I want. Being a pastor is what I do. It's not who I am. Did you hear that? Being a pastor is what I do. Now, some of you are electricians, and some of you are plumbers, and some of you are whatever you are. I happen to be called to be a pastor, and it's what I do. But who I am, I'm just like you. I'm called to love God. You're called to love God. Now, how that love for God and others plays out in your life is tomorrow morning, you may have, the alarm goes off and you get up and you go to work, or you get up with your 3.9 children and you love on them all day. That's your calling. And that's what you do. I happen to do this, and I love it. Don't get me wrong when I say it. But I never, ever in my life had thought, man, if I could just be a pastor, then I'd be happy. This just kind of came about. This just kind of came. As God just walked me down the road, he moved me to this kind of thing. And I was good with it as it come along. I turned to Sandy as God was stirring me to start a church. And I said, Sandy, I have no idea what this means. But if you're with me, if you're with me, then I'm okay. And I don't know if God wants to teach us some hard lessons through this. I don't know. And maybe this won't ever go. Maybe this won't ever happen. And in the midst of it, all I want to do is be obedient to what you're saying to me, God. And if you're asking me to step out by faith and leave all what I'm comfortable with and move out into this, okay. I can't see it. But I know that you're calling me to it. And I can promise you, as sure as I'm sitting on this stool, that God said, go. And my only response could be okay. Thankfully, Sandy was into it, man. She doesn't know what she was getting into either. I mean, she had no idea what she was getting into when she married me, and she had no idea what she's getting into when I became a pastor. Now, she still, sometimes I wonder if she would go back and change some things if she could. But, you know, it's like that's just part of what God has done in our lives together. So I tell her, you know, I feel God's doing this. And I was kind of expecting her to just laugh, like Sarah laughed at Abram. So what I started doing was just writing down the verses I believe God was speaking to my heart, just writing them down. And there were a lot of them. I got a lot of verses about going home. So I thought that meant, I'm from Ohio, I thought that meant I'm going home. So I get my engineering degree resume out and start filling out my resume and start sending them back to people I know who live back home and looking for jobs and stuff like that. But one day, I had taken the youth group to Mazatlan, Mexico, and we came back. And Brent was still going to the Southside Church, and he had said, why don't you come down and just share with your youth group? And we did dramas and all these things. So the kids went down and did their dramas, and I got up to share. And as I'm sharing, God spoke to my heart. You ever have been in a situation where you're speaking out loud and then you're almost like you're an out-of-body experience? It wasn't, but it was almost like that. And as I'm speaking, I'm hearing God say, Toby, you're doing right now what I called you to do. Like, whoa. So I go home. Sandy's in the kitchen making lunch, and Sandy turns to me and says, Toby, the most amazing thing happened today. She goes, you're in the middle of your teaching, and God spoke to me and said, Toby's right now doing what I called him to do. Now, you talk about how God works. And it's like, okay, you know, and not only did he say it to me, he said it to this person who matters to me more than anyone in this world and who needed to be with me as we stepped out into this venture. And so, you know, he just bunched the engineering stuff and said, all right, Lord, I'm not an engineer. I'm called to serve you in the name of being a pastor. And so we started looking for opportunities back home in Ohio to pastor. And there were some opportunities. We drove back and went to churches there and stuff, but it just didn't feel right. Nothing really came into place. And so during this time, the Southside Church wasn't doing very well. And so Brent and I had remained friends. And so I met with him and shared with him what was going on. And we started talking. And then we met with Doug Burgett, and Doug got emotional as we were talking, and Doug said, man, I've been praying that we would do a church together. So Brent and Doug and I just started talking and praying and meeting. And then from that, a group of us, maybe 10 or 12 or 15 people, would meet in Brent's and Di's living room on Thursday nights just to pray and just to seek the heart of God. And it was a special time, wasn't it, Brent? And some of us may have been there. It was real special. We were clueless. Still are. We were clueless. I mean, I don't know what it means to pastor a church. I really don't know. All I know is God's called me to love him and love you. That's all I know. And so I just committed to, Lord, I just want to be obedient to you. And I don't particularly like what you're doing, but if that's what you want, okay. And God just kind of birthed something supernaturally, didn't he? It was a supernatural thing. One of the questions I kept asking myself through that time is, does Indianapolis really need another church? I mean, for heaven's sakes. Brent lived on the south side. At that time, I'd moved to McCordsville, so I'm driving down to Brent's house, and I passed, 327 churches on the way down there? It's like, really, Lord? I don't get it. I don't get it. And if you're calling us to be a church, then what's our purpose? And the Lord was clear as a bell to me as to what our purpose is. Two verses, and I want you to turn there because I want you to see them. They're Ephesians chapter 4, so turn in your Bible. I hope you're hanging in there with me. I feel like it's important for us to share some of these things. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 is one of the verses that I feel is our foundation. It was our foundation. It continues to be our foundation. You find it okay? Ephesians chapter 4. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for, verse 12, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, mine says. It's really mature. Anytime you see perfect there, think maturity. For to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, there's a thousand things in here that really matter. One word that really matters is verse 12, third word, the equipping. I know back then, and I know today, that God has called us to be an equipping church. Some churches are missionary churches. Some churches are all sorts of different kinds. We are called to be an equipping church. And you see, as you go from 12 all the way through, an equipping church to what? To maturity. Because God wants to grow us from the point that we're infants and we come to know Christ all the way to maturity. And he talks about it as we go through there. And I don't want to spend a lot of time in there. But notice 14, that we're mature enough not to be caught up in all the winds of doctrine that floats around the body of Christ. That we're mature enough to know what the Bible says, what God wants. And when somebody comes along and says, well, how about this? We know better. I don't care if they got a collar or not. We know better. Why? Because we know the Bible. Because we know the heart of God. And way, 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 way too many Christians who are really, really loving God, they are just so feeble when it comes to understanding the things of the Bible that when somebody comes along and tells them something, they're like, okay, okay. That must be true because, after all, he's got a diploma on the wall. And we're not mature in our faith. And I don't care if you're 40 or 80 or 12, we got to grow in our faith. And the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How does my faith grow? By being in the Bible, by growing in the things of the Lord, by being taught the Bible. We need to be taught. And so I know from the get-go, God says, I want you to be equipping. Now, that's not the most fanciest thing. It's not, you know, we don't do indoor fireworks here. We don't have a huge worship team with, like, harps and nothing against harps and violins and all. We're not going to get into the splashy things. Why? We're not that kind of church. God called us to be a roll up your sleeves, get down and dirty, and teach people the Bible, line by line, verse by verse. And get down with them and love them and teach them, not just on Sunday morning. Teach them on a Monday afternoon. Teach them on a Tuesday night. Meet with them. Share with them. Love them. Encourage them. And we do it in the children's ministry. We do it in the youth group. We do it on the women. We do it all across the way. We teach people the Bible. For this verse right here, one other verse, Colossians. Go over to that. Colossians 1. So go to your right a couple verses or a couple pages. Oh. Where is it? Oh, yeah, 128 and 29. Him, speaking of Jesus, him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, there's that word again, perfect. But it really isn't perfect in the sense of not making mistakes. It's mature, right? That we may present every man mature in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. That's the purpose of this church, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to mature us day by day, by day, by day, by day, by day. And it's hard work. It's hard work. As we love each other and challenge each other and encourage each other. And there's not a lot of splash and dash in that. And a lot of people get frustrated because where's all the pizzazz and where's all the, you know what? Roll up your sleeves and get dirty with people and love people because we keep puking on ourselves and I puke on myself and I need you to stand with me and I need you to challenge me and I need you to hold me up when I'm weak and I need that. And I need you to look at the Bible and say, Toby, the Bible says this. Stop complaining about your wife. What about you, brother? We need to be that kind of people. And I believe that God's called us to be that kind of people. We're an equipping church. Here's the thing I think I get bugged a little bit about. I could come in here and teach John 3:16 every week. But what good does that do you if you've been a Christian for a while? You need to be taught Ephesians. You need to be taught Galatians, where it talks about how to grow in your faith, where it talks about all the things that God has done for you. And you've got to grab a hold of that and say, I believe it. I believe it. That I'm not who the devil says I am. I'm not who I was. And we learn those things through the study of the book of Ephesians. We learn those things through the study of the book of Hebrews. And that's who God's called us to be. There's a place in here in Acts 20:27 where Paul's speaking to the Ephesian elders, and he says, "For I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." We're committed to that here. I'm committed to that, to share with you the whole counsel of God. And that's why we teach the Bible line by line, verse by verse. Because if I had my way, I would never talk sex and marriage. But you know what? We did, because we came across that as we've gone through the Bible. And we don't talk about tithing here, but we do when we go across it. We talk about evangelism. We talk about everything. Why? Because the Bible says it, and we do it in its correct proportion. Because I'm not going to get in here and talk about tithing every week. Why? It's not in here every week. And so we just talk about what the Bible says, and we grow up into maturity that way. So God desires this church not only to bring people into his kingdom, but to grow them into maturity. And Christian maturity is always measured by Christ-likeness. So the goal of our ministry is to help people grow into Christ-likeness. When I was writing the scriptures down before I left the other church, I was writing a lot of the scriptures related to bringing water to a dry and thirsty land. And I kept getting this mental picture of an oasis. Of an oasis. And if you're around me much, you'll hear me pray that way. That God, I desire for this facility that you've given us to be an oasis, that people could come and get refreshed. So after praying all those weeks at Brent and Di's house, we were sure that God had called us to become Calvary Christian Fellowship of Indianapolis. So we began Sunday services in October of 2003. And the first service was at my house, and then there was probably 12 or 18 of us. I'd never really stopped to count all that. And then we went to a Warren school, Raymond Park, and we were there for just a few months because they turned off the air conditioning in the summer. That was October, so they turned off the air conditioning. We moved to Creston. And then we were in Creston for about a year and a half. They had a year policy, but we got an extension. We were able to stay. And then I knew the owner of the Family Fun and Fitness. I knew he was a Christian guy, and so I went and met with him. And Brent and I went over and we walked in. He goes, "You know, we're closed on Sunday." He says, "You can have it for free. Just use it. It's okay." We convinced him that we didn't want to be free because we knew he had a costs. So he said, "What are you paying now?" If I remember, Brent's over here. That's why I keep looking at Brent. I think he said, "What are you paying now?" And we told him what we were paying, and he said, "That's good." So we started paying that. It was what a great blessing, wasn't it? And I don't know if you've been in the Family Fun and Fitness, but it's a really nice place. How many of us go all the way back to Raymond Park? Oh, look, a lot of us. 11 years. And then a year ago, last Monday, we came here. Well, it was our first service. We came early December to hear. First message, if you're around Dennis Gavigan, you'll hear him pray it. Exodus 33 and 34, which says, "God, if you're not with us, we don't want to go. There's no point in us meeting together if you're not in our midst." Right, Dennis? I hear Dennis say it a lot. From there, we did the book of John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 3 Corinthians, 4 Corinthians. No, all the way out, all the way out. I think when we got to Hebrews, I wanted to do the Jesus book again, so we went back and did Mark, and then now we're in, where would we say we are? Revelation 13. I have not, how does it go? "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." If you've been with us, you're going to be taught the whole New Testament, and you have read every word except the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. I go to the retirement home. I've taught that whole Bible to them 3 times. Those ladies and a few men have heard every word in the Bible 3 times if they've lived that long. Most of them haven't. Let's not get into that. Some of them have. Yeah. There's this one lady. Oh, she's old. But I love her to death. She's got a hearing aid. A lot of them have hearing aids, you know, and you hear them when they come in, and I can't tell if they're turning them up or turning them down. They tell me they're up, but I'm pretty sure they're the other way. She comes in, and from the moment that I start talking, she goes to sleep, and the moment that I finish saying amen, she'll wake up, and every day as I stand at the door and say goodbye to her, she goes, you know, Toby, that was the best Bible study I've ever heard. She does. She does. I love her. I think she means it. Yeah, I was going to say, none of you should use that. So, we start the church. I start working at FedEx. Actually, that's where I started refereeing a lot. I ref today three or four nights a week, maybe five days a week. It's part of how I supplement my income. I love basketball. I love refereeing. I don't like getting yelled at. But that's what, so I started working at FedEx. Over at the airport, and I would drive over. I think my shift started at 11 p.m. I'm a night owl. I love the night, so it wasn't hard for me, and the girls were all asleep, and then I'd get home, I think 4:30 in the morning, something like that. So every time I'd come home, I would go in and check on my girls. Megan would have been probably 8, and so Shelby would have been 6, somewhere in that range. And one night, I will go in, and I check in on Shelby, and I go in their bedroom, and I go to pull her covers up, and she sits up in her bed. And she says, and I quote, the Lord would say to you this, don't be afraid of the small things. And she laid back down. Woo! I don't think I've been in her bedroom since. I'll tell you, I promise you, the next night when I walked in her bedroom, I cracked the door and said, Shelby, everything okay today? She doesn't remember it, but God spoke through them, my daughter, the Lord would say to you, don't be afraid of the small things. I immediately went out to my desk and wrote it down. That's why I can quote it. And the small things seemed to mean at the time, and still does, that God is going to build a sure foundation upon which he would make his name known throughout our area. And the challenge that God was putting before us, do the small things well. The seemingly insignificant tasks do well. That we're not to be concerned about what's big and flashy and popular, but just be concerned about doing and speaking what was right. I think about that a lot. Lord, am I today doing the small things well? Are we, as a body today, doing the small things well? How many little ones did we have right here? Are we doing the small things well? So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So Roger Rexroad, who you'll meet here in a second, was the one that somebody came up to him and said, so tell me about the church. He couldn't say it very well. He said, I don't know much. Why do we exist anyway? And he's a leader here. So the board got together and started talking. Said, well, let's go back and make sure that how Doug Brent and I first sat down and said this is who God called us to be. Is that still? So I'd like to call the fellas up who are part of the board, elders, and have them come up, and I just want to communicate to you what we did meet. We've been meeting, we've been praying, and I want to share with you a few things about what we talked about. So this is Chris Grundin. You know Chris is leading worship. This is Brent Hopping, Dave Sterrett, and there's Roger Rexroad, and then this is Dennis Gavigan. Okay? These are your pastors, all right? I believe an elder is a pastor. And so I get the privilege of standing up here and being the mouthpiece, but these guys are their pastors. Let me read a couple verses to you. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And then 1 Corinthians 9:6 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So everything we are and everything we do revolves around one thing, bringing glory to God. That's the purpose of living right there. That's the purpose of us as a Christian, and that's the purpose of us as a church, to glorify Jesus. That's why you see Jesus I thought people would walk in the front door. You guys walk in the back door. I need to move the sign. No. But, you know, people talk about, what do we do here? And I was like, clearly, we want the name Jesus known. So our purpose is to glorify Jesus. Then Jesus said in Luke 10:27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Remember? Jesus sums up the Ten Commandments into two. Love God and love others. So as we're talking and we're meeting and we're praying, we ask ourselves, what's our purpose as a church? Our purpose as a church is to glorify Jesus. Okay? So if anybody asks you, why do you exist? What do you do? What is that church about down there? I want you to be able to say it in two words. Glorify Jesus. That's it. That's what the Bible says. That's why you'll hear me if you're around me a lot. I don't care when we go out and people ask, well, where are you from? What's your church name? What's your pastor's name? No, don't answer that. We're here to love you in the name of Jesus. We want his name glorified. We're not interested in honoring the name Calvary Christian. We're not interested in, heaven forbid, in glorifying the name Toby Reiser. We're not interested in that. I am an instrument. We are instruments. We are instruments to bring glory to him. So our purpose as a church is to glorify Jesus. How do we do that? We love God and we love others. That's how we glorify Jesus. So that's our statement, right? We glorify Jesus by loving God and loving others. Nathan, can you throw up the very first slide I have for you, if we can read that? You see that? So we glorify Jesus. We love God and we love others through, remember the Ephesians verse that I read earlier? Through the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So how do we love God and love others? We equip people. Not just we. We meet with people. We share with people. We disciple people. We teach people. All of us do. For what purpose? To equip them so that they can love God and love others so that they can bring glory to Jesus. You see how I backed up to that? So then every night when I come here with the youth group, what's my point? I'm wanting to equip them so that they learn how to love God and they learn how to love others because I want them to bring glory to Jesus. And I want that for your kids. As much as anything, I want that for your kids. Make sense? That's who we are. That's who we are. Now, how do we accomplish that? We accomplish that by, go ahead, Nathan, to the next one. And we wrestled over this. So here's the love God side. Here's the love other side. And the Bible talks about how we love God through worship. Not just singing songs, right? We worship God in a lot of ways. We love God through prayer. We love God through communion, the breaking of bread. We love God by obeying him. And then we love others by teaching them. That's evangelism. We teach them by, or then we love others by discipleship. We love others by reaching out to them. I love others by being in fellowship with them. And we love others by serving them. Make sense? So our statement of purpose is that we want to glorify Jesus. We're called to glorify Jesus, and we accomplish that by loving God and by loving others through the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And all these things are what God then calls us to do to fulfill that. Does that make sense to you? So if somebody asks you what we're about, this is it. We simply want to love God. And we simply want to love others. Now, how do we do that? We do it through these, and there may be others. We wrestled back and forth as to what other things should be on here. And maybe this list will change over time. But everything we do should be a filter through this. Here's the thing. Brent and I get a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails about different ministry opportunities. Do you realize there's a big world out there? Holy cow, you know, I get opportunities to do Ethiopia things and speaking things and all this stuff. And the filter for me is always, Lord, that sounds good, but Lord, is that what you want for us? Do you want us to run an orphanage? Is that what you want? But we have to filter through this. These are the things that God called us to. So within worship, prayer, communion, and obedience, there'll be certain ministries. Within teaching, discipleship, outreach, fellowship, and serve, there'll be certain ministries that we believe God has called us to. That's how we're fulfilling what we believe God wants from us. Anything you guys have to share about all that? Any questions you might have? I know this is a different service. Next week we'll get back into Revelation. We want to glorify Jesus. You heard it in Chris's songs today. Well done, by the way. That's what we're about. And we do that by coming here on Sunday morning and teaching. We do that by having communion. We do that by all these different things. So we felt it was important for us to write it down. I'm a big write it down guy. And there's a verse in Habakkuk that says, write it down, write the vision down so others may run with it. If you think that the ministry is going to function well because I do it, then you're dead wrong. It's a us thing. If you think the ministry is going to function well because we do it, then you're missing it. You're not understanding what the Bible says. It's a we thing. And so today I wanted to, and we felt it important, to share this kind of thing so we can all grab a hold and say, Lord, what's my place in this? How am I to walk in this? What's the role that I'm to play in here? There's no sideline sitters in the army of God. We're all called to the battlefield. We're all called to be a part of his team. We're all called to use our gifts and abilities. I happen to be a mouth. Look. But, you know, others called to be other things. You would never know it, but Joanne is here almost every day doing things with the facility. No one would know unless I told you. It's what he does to serve you. It's what he does. And to glorify Jesus. That's right. Good. And that's what we want to encourage all of us to be. What's your place? Do you have a gift within the music? Then Chris wants to talk to you. Do you have a gift when it comes to teaching? Then let me talk to you about how we can better utilize your gift if you're not functioning very well in that. What opportunities are there for you? The thing that Dennis was saying the other day, we don't realize how many things all of us are doing because you don't know that Dennis goes to prison every Tuesday. You don't know that Scott Boer goes to prison every Sunday morning. You don't know all the things that we do. Why? It doesn't have to be known by us. You just do what God's called you to do. But we want to help you walk in your gifting. We want to help you walk in your calling. And if you're frustrated by some of that right now, then let's talk. Let's talk and try to figure out where's God given you a heart. And that was one of the greatest things for me is when I realized that my heart fell out of my chest for young people. And it really helped direct me down that road. Okay? So this week I've been just trying to wrestle through what all to say and what not to say and all that. And I really believe God gave me something to share with you right now as we look into the next year. And maybe this is for me, and I know it is, but I believe it's also for us. And I wrote it down. What have you done today for kingdom purposes? And I think you're going to hear me say that a lot in the next little bit. What have you done today for the kingdom? Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to do the Billy Graham crusade. But when you went to Taco Bell for lunch, did you encourage that girl for the kingdom? When you were generous, did you do it for the kingdom? When you served that person, did you do it for the kingdom? What have you done today for the kingdom? See, for me, if I pull that all the way back, then tomorrow morning when I wake up, my prayer can be, Lord, today I want to be about kingdom purposes. I don't want to just pull wire. I don't want to just unstuff toilets. I want to do things for the kingdom. And maybe that'll help me have a mindset as I go through my day of what I can do. A simple smile for the kingdom. A cup of cold water. Isn't that what it says? For the kingdom. And I would like to challenge us that when we get ready to go to bed at night and we get ready and we're laying down and we're saying our prayers that we can say, Lord, today I have lived for the kingdom. I've given myself for the kingdom. And we're not in this comparative thing. Well, so-and-so did all this for the kingdom. Uh-uh. I'm called to be obedient today to what you've called me, Lord, and I was. I lived today for the kingdom. And I bless people in the name of Jesus. You see the people who are at the end of the freeways when you get off, and you know sometimes they got the signs, you know, veteran or whatever. And every once in a while, I feel led to give them a dollar or whatever. And I say and to them every time, in the name of Jesus. When we drop the coins in the Salvation Army bell ringer thing, I look the guy in the eye and say, in the name of Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Let's not just assume that people know we're doing it in the name of Jesus. When you take them a pie, say it, in the name of Jesus. Well, what church you go to? Ma'am, it's in the name of Jesus. Well, where's your church meet? Ma'am, I do this in the name of Jesus. Now, if they want to know and they ask you three times, give them an address. But we're not about that. We're about kingdom building, amen? We're not about Calvary Christian building. We're about kingdom things. And I believe that God wants to challenge us as we move into this new year of let's make every day about kingdom things. And let's go to work for the kingdom. And let God use us for the kingdom. And I think that we're going to be lined up here on Sunday morning about testimonies. You know what? That was doing work and this lady and for the kingdom I did this. Amen? I don't know what that means, but I believe that's strong inside of my heart to challenge us. Let's not just get along this year. Let's just not get along. Let's not just breathe and drink and eat and go to work. And before you know it, we're a year from now thinking, where'd 15 go? Let's live every day for the kingdom. Pray with me. Lord, thank you that you love us like you do. Thank you that you call us to glorify you in all that we do and all that we say and all that we think. And Lord, we want to be those people. We're humbled that you would allow us to be about your business in this world, Lord. What a glorious thing that you would want to use us to bless others. And I pray that would be our attitude, Lord. That we want to glorify Jesus by loving you and by loving the people that you bring across our path. And maybe it's giving them a ride to church. Maybe it's plowing their driveway. But Lord, I pray that we would be really, really aware of the opportunities that you present to us to do kingdom things. Lord, may we be lovers of God and lovers of people. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, Papa. Can you turn that up, Eliana, please? No way.
La La Bamba. No.
You don't want that. We've been here 11 years, so.
Loud.
Toby's right. It's the community here. It's the family here. It's everybody here, all the elders that were up here. It's Dennis. It's Chris. Brent. These guys changed my life. Changed my family's life. If you stick around long enough, God would change your life through these men right up here. So, stick with it. Love on God. Love on these guys. These guys will be here for you, anything that you need. And they have been for me. It's funny that this past 6 months that Cass and I have been going through some stuff, but it's not so much us personally, but everybody's come to us for strength through marital issues, a lot of it lately. And one just really hit home for me over Christmas. But it's through God that we, guess now, I have the strength to be with each other, to be that light. Because some of these couples that come to us, they're not Christian. And what do? We point to them. So their message, Toby's message every Sunday is, pointing to God, and just look at that, and stick around long enough, and you'll get that little little tug on your heart. Thanks.